Leo Pearlstein founded and is director of Western Research Kitchens, the food and beverage division of his agency, Lee & Associates. He's considered a pioneer in the food industry, and his agency was recently named one of the top agencies in the country that specializes in food and beverage clients. Leo's been called the culinary king of public relations because of his experience. He was on the team that invented the pop-up turkey timer and handled promotions for the California Turkey Advisory Board for over 25 years. Lee wrote three books, Celebrity Stew, Recipes of the Stars, and Mrs. Kubison's Best Stuffing Cookbook. He is known as the turkey and stuffing expert, as well as an all-around food authority. Leo was invited to participate in the first President's Council on Nutrition at the White House. Leo received his Bachelor's of Science degree in marketing from School of Merchandising, College of Commerce at the University of Southern California. Joining us from Southern California. Hi, Leo. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just great. It's good to talk to you.
Well, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much for returning, because I can think of nobody who is better suited to be on the show just before Thanksgiving than you, the culinary king of PR. You are an expert on cooking for Thanksgiving. So let's talk about turkey. Let's talk about stuffing. Which is better, a tom turkey or a hen turkey?
It's not which is better. It's probably which is easier to cook. The tom turkeys are very large. They don't have as much breast meat proportionately as the hens do. And so most people, of course, they have a large crowd. You got to get a 20-25 pound turkey. Frankly, when we have big crowds, I tell you that we usually get two hen turkeys. I don't know why. It's just sort of a thing that developed over the years. But hen turkeys are bred now for large white meat breasts.
Because
so that's what's happening. And they're very tender. They're much more tender than they were 20 years ago or so.
I see. All right. So science is advancing the art of turkey farming, and we'll come to that in just a minute. What's then the difference between stuffing and dressing? Because you hear those two words used interchangeably.
Well, there's absolutely no difference. It's several different theories about why it is. The simplest theory that I have is Sophie Cubison, who was the pioneer who introduced what she called dressing to the West Coast. Many, many years ago, 60 years or so, Sophie had made prepared dressing for poultry, meat, and fish. So the Californians grew up knowing about dressing. Back east, they called it stuffing. That's one theory. The other theory is if you stuff the turkey, you call it stuffing. If you make it on the side, you call it dressing. And the third theory is that way back in the 1800s, the French were stuffing geese and stuff like that, and they had a word for it, and I forgot what the French word is, but that they called it stuffing.
I see. All right. Well, that's a very interesting history lesson. Now, in that answer, you mentioned that you had the privilege of knowing the real Mrs. Cubison, and I think
I
that
was probably the youngest advertising guy in the city, and I was handling turkeys, and I saw a little ad in the paper, tiny 2-inch ad. In fact, it was very well done. It was a black ad with white reverse. And it just said, turkeys taste better with Mrs. Cubison's dressing. Then I turned the page, it said, chicken tastes better. It was kind of clever. She had about four ads in the paper, little tiny ones. Had turkey, chicken, ducks, believe it or not, goose, taste better with Mrs. Cubison's dressing. So I went, looked up in the yellow pages. We didn't have computers in those days. And I found out she had a little bakery down on Pasadena Avenue, downtown Los Angeles. I called her on the phone and said, I work for the state of California. That sounded kind of important. with the turkey and the steam, may I come and see you? She was a very, very charming lady, very charming, very friendly. And I went down and said, I'm handling the promotion for the turkey industry. I read about your stuffing. Our job is to get people to eat turkeys the year round. I imagine you'd like to do that too. Can we work together?
Wow.
That started a tremendous long-range friendship and client relationship. She didn't have much money. She said, I don't have much money, but I'd be glad to work with you. And frankly, the little bucks that she had covered my running around, and we bought turkeys and stuff, and she gave me stuffing, and we would deliver it to all of the TV stations, the celebrities, the radio jocks, the food editors. We figured the more people that saw or were associated with turkey, the more people would start thinking about turkey in addition to Thanksgiving.
Well, very clever.
That started. And believe it or not, I survived seven mergers, and I'm still with Mrs. Cubison.
How about that?
That's an account.
That is great. My guest is Leo Pearlstein. Leo, you mentioned that California is a turkey-producing state. Where do we rank in terms of turkey farming among the 50 states?
Well, we used to be number one, and I've lost track of the statistics now. I have a hunch due to change in economy and change in costs of production and so on. I think California is number three now. I think Carolina and Minnesota are one and two. I think California is number three. But as far as I was told by the California turkey promotion industry, they have their own trade association, California still has a higher per capita consumption of turkey than the rest of the country.
Wow. Let's hear it for California.
I'd like to take a little tiny bit of credit for that, because we started promoting turkey before anyone else did.
Yeah. No, that's great. Leo, now, how much, just give us an idea of how much turkey will be consumed this Thanksgiving.
You know, I got a terrible memory on statistics. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I think it says something like 47 million turkeys or something like that.
Wow.
Every year I call up the National Turkey Federation, and they give me the figure, and I'm embarrassed to say I've got it written down, and the word 47 seems to stick in my head.
That is a big number.
It's a tremendous amount. As you know, it's a tradition, and a lot of people have forgotten about the pilgrims and everything, but they figure Thanksgiving and turkey, and a tremendous amount of people buy turkeys.
Well, 47 million is no number to sneeze at, and it kind of brings up an interesting point about the business of turkey farming, because that must be very challenging. Most turkey is consumed on Thanksgiving and maybe to a lesser extent Christmas.
Well, no, times have changed completely.
Have they?
What they're selling now is the turkey parts, the turkey breasts and ground turkey and turkey parts, which, believe it or not, we in California pioneered in that many, many, many years ago, and it was hard to get people to even think about buying turkey drumsticks. In California, we, with our promotion, we were trying to promote California turkey drumsticks, turkey breasts, and at that time, the mechanical part of cutting them and trimming them wasn't perfected. But, and again, I wish I had the statistic, but they sell a tremendous amount of turkey in the restaurants year-round, turkey sandwiches, turkey dinners year-round. And as I say now, I've noticed just in the last month or so, Jennie-O, which is one of the biggest turkey producers, is advertising turkey burgers instead of hamburgers.
I see. Sure. Sure. Well, that's very popular in here in California. It's good to know that those farmers are still employed year-round. They're not just waiting for Thanksgiving each and every year. My guest is Leo Pearlstein. Leo, give me some tips, some insider tips, if you will, on turkey preparation. What's the best way to keep a turkey moist when you're cooking it? My wife stuffs butter underneath the skin. That helps to keep it moist. And it makes the skin crispy. What are some other techniques?
Well, your wife is right on the ball, because the skin, people season the skin. They put seasoning on the skin. Well, they're just seasoning the skin. The flavor in the turkey, turkeys are bland. The flavor in the turkey comes from the cavity. So you liberally sprinkle seasoning in the cavity. But one thing you should do is get a poultry seasoning. You know, they're marketing now in seasonings. They've got fajitas, hamburgers, fish, seafood, all sorts of seasonings. So when you go to the market, look at all the labels. Well, we always do, just from a health point of view. We always turn the label over and see that it doesn't have preservatives or additives. There are people that make natural seasonings. In fact, there's a famous chef in New Orleans, Chef Paul Prudhomme.
Yes.
He was famous before the Food Network. He's written many books. He's got that restaurant. He was one of the first chefs to blend seasonings. And then he came out with a line of his own seasoning. In fact, I use it. It's called Chef Paul's Magic Poultry Blend. So be sure you get a poultry seasoning. Season it well in the cavity. And you know, like your wife putting butter on the skin?
Yeah.
You ought to put some seasoning on that, too, between the breast and the skin.
Well, she does.
And
she puts sage.
You can cut up an orange or a lemon or put some herbs in there with the seasoning. Now, basically, you know, if you can, you get a turkey with a pop-up turkey timer. That pops up when the turkey's ready.
Right.
If you have a thermometer, figure maximum temperature 180 degrees. Could be 175 to 180. That's moist. After that, it starts getting dry.
All right.
And so that's one thing. Now, the most important part of the meal, as far as I'm concerned, is the stuffing. Really, I mean, I'm prejudiced.
Sure.
But really, if you know families, the kids wait for mom's famous stuffing recipe. Unfortunately, they should do it year-round, but she does it every year at Thanksgiving, and she picked it up from her mother. Stuffing is sort of a three-generation type thing. It passes from the grandmother to the mom to the daughter or their daughter-in-law. So, you know, stuffing, and you don't have to stuff the turkey if you don't want to. A lot of people stuff the turkey with mom's recipe, and then they make a casserole on the side with a contemporary recipe. And the beauty in California now, especially, California is loaded with vegetables. In Ventura, I imagine the celery growers in Ventura are very happy when Thanksgiving comes.
Yes.
Because they're going to sell a lot of celery. In fact, with the prepared stuffing mix, which is old days, they used to have stale bread and stuff like that, that's gone. All you do is buy a package of Mrs. Covison's dressing. It's seasoned just right, and it's Melba-toasted bread. And all you really have to do is put a cup of chopped celery and a cup of chopped onions and a cup of melted butter or margarine and a cup of liquid, which could be broth or water or fruit juice or even wine, and you're home free. But here's where every lady, every man who's preparing the dinner does their own thing, just like Frank Sinatra, do your own thing. You can add almost anything you want, depending on where you grew up or where you're living or where your folks came from. If you like sausage, there's German sausage, Italian sausage, Mexican sausage. If you like seafood, there's shrimp, clams, oysters. Veggies are very good in California, especially. In addition to the onion and celery, you can put almost any kind of vegetable, mushrooms, carrots, parsley, zucchini. Then comes the fruit. We're kind of nuts on fruit. We think California is the best place in the world for fruit. You've got fresh winter fruit like apples, pears, oranges, grapefruit, and you've got a lot of dried fruit. California is the dried fruit area. The Sunsweet people is a co-op up north. They're the major factor in the dried fruit industry. And dried prunes were a traditional way, way back. Prunes are moist, and they give you a flavor. But now, believe it or not, they came out with diced prunes. They look like raisins. They're in a canister. They just came out several months ago. And all you do is you pour like a cup of the diced prunes in. Not only that, they came out with dried cherries, dried cranberries, dried blueberries. That is really interesting because they're colorful. Not only do you eat them as a snack, but you use them for cooking. In fact, what we did this year, we try to come up, when we do a TV show, we try to come up with something easy to do but still looks glamorous. So what we did is we took Mrs. Covison's stuffing, we added the butter and the margarine, we added the diced prunes, and then we added the red tart cherries, and just for the heck of it, we put in a cup of chopped walnuts. Boy, that's a great casserole.
It sounds delicious.
30 minutes in the oven at 350 degrees. Now, that gives it moist. If you like it crusty, at the end of 30 minutes, you take the cover off, and you have it another 10 minutes. Another thing you can do, which is kind of a show-off thing but fun, you take the same mixture of the stuffing, and you put it in the muffin tin, like making cupcakes.
Yes.
It's very cute. It only takes 20 minutes, and you've got a bunch of little muffins. Stuffing muffins.
Stuffing muffins. That is great. My guest is Leo Pearlstein. He's the author of several books. One of them is Recipes of the Stars. And in your answer, that last answer, you were talking about how you used to take turkey and stuffing to the TV studios and elsewhere. You've actually had the privilege, and part of the fun part of your job was to do interviews with celebrities on their best recipes. Which celebrities have the best Thanksgiving or holiday recipes for our listeners?
Well, if I remember, and it's always hard to see which was the best, but I will tell you, Phyllis Diller is one of the best cooks and very charming, a very hostess. We went to her house, and she cooked up a fruit dressing, almost the same as we did, and she used apples in her dressing. Very good, very charming person, very great. Bill Cosby gave us his mother's recipe, which at that time I was handling the prune industry, and I was thrilled to death because his mother used prunes, and he was at NBC, and the publicity guy at NBC said, let's send the release out to the entertainment people instead of the food people. And within 2 or 3 days, they got 5,000 requests for Bill Cosby's mom's recipe.
Wow.
And believe it or not, Jimmy Durante was a cook, a very good cook, and I saw Jimmy Durante in Las Vegas because he did a public service announcement for us. In fact, most of the celebs. I was handling the California Dairy Council. At that time, they had the basic four food groups, and the Dairy Council wanted people to eat the basic four food groups, meat and fish, whole grains, and, of course, dairy products. And we made a public service announcement that we would have the celebs do on radio, and they would say something about, this is Jimmy Durante, I'm at the Sahara Hotel right now doing my show, but let me tell you, folks, you really have to eat well, do exercise, and eat the basic four food groups. And then he'd say meat, fish, poultry, grains, and dairy products. That was a public service announcement. And in the meanwhile, he had a chance to plug a hotel. Bill Cosby had a chance to plug his show. At that time, Bill Cosby was a physical ed teacher. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, yes.
And he said, and Bill Cosby was very, very conscientious about food and nutrition and exercise. And actually, we wrote a commercial, and he changed it for himself. And he said, hey, kids, don't forget, go out and do exercise every day. Run around the track. Have lots of fun, but be sure you do exercise. Eat right. Eat the right foods. And don't smoke. That's way back. So
yep.
That was fun. And these guys, these celebs, were so nice. They were nice people. I mean, they were nice to work with. And in return for them taking a picture with turkey or prunes or chives or eggs, I would say, what do you want to plug? In fact, one of them, I don't remember who it was, but one of the celebs, I met him at a celebrity tennis thing that for the Diabetes Association, and we had the egg account, and we supplied hard-cooked eggs for all of the tennis players. He says, you know, when the movie's over, I'm out of work. You know, that's the way it was. You
sure.
Do a movie, then you wait for the next movie. So anytime they could get publicity, and I got them publicity in the food pages with their favorite recipes, they plugged their show or themselves or their charity, and I got a plug for my product. Worked, you know, we were both happy about it.
Sure. My guest is Leo Pearlstein. He's the author of a couple of books, Recipes of the Stars and Celebrity Stew. You've got a lot of great ideas for Thanksgiving. Leo, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your books, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, number one, the best site that you could get for Thanksgiving that'll make your life easier, any questions at all, they got frequently asked questions. They've got notes about turkey, stuffing, ThanksgivingTips.com.
Thanks.
ThanksgivingTips.com is a great website.
All right, that's great.
CelebrityStew.com, in fact, the CelebrityStewBook.com, shows about 20 photos of the celebs and talks about the book and the bio. I think that's a good website, too.
All right, Leo.
ThanksgivingTips.com.
That is great. Leo, thanks so much. It has been a real delight. Thank you for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Listen, anytime you want to, or if you get a cancellation and someone's not there, call me. I'm full of news, as you can tell, mostly food. I can go any direction, and I enjoy it. This is my hobby. I really enjoy doing this stuff.
All right, Leo, and it shows. Your enthusiasm shows. Thanks so much for being my guest, and we'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I'll be back with my next guest after these words from my sponsors.